All right, convictions and consequences, introduction to the Bible. Big topic, a little humor to get us started here. Humor in church, I know we're not supposed to do that. To most Christians, the Bible's like a software license, you know, on your computer. You know, nobody actually reads it, they just scroll to the bottom and click, I agree. We shouldn't do that with God's Word, but we should agree, obviously, to it. Talked about this state of American theology and some of the results, and now for evangelicals, breaking out, evangelicals who are Bible-believing, biblical authority, and believe that Jesus is the only way, Jesus is a Savior. So, solid Christians that are Bible-believing Christians. A couple of the things that in that survey that surprised me. The Bible, like all sacred writings, contains helpful accounts of ancient myths, but is not literally true. That was one of the questions. 22% of evangelicals agreed with that. Folks, that's dangerous. The Bible is 100% accurate in all that it teaches. Notice how some of these you say, you know, there are so many that say they agree with this, but an 85% agree with that, which, okay, that's good, but what about the other 15%? Modern science disproves the Bible. These are Bible-believing evangelicals. 22% agree. The Bible has the authority to tell us what we must do. Well, 87% agree with that. The Bible's condemnation, here's some current topics that in our nation in particular, but the Bible's condemnation of homosexual behavior doesn't apply today. 21% of evangelicals agree with that. Religious belief is a matter of personal opinion. It is not about objective truth. 37% of evangelicals agree with that. The Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. 92% agree with that. So that's good, but then some of the others you wonder about. So anyway, folks, this is a serious topic, and for this whole series, the Bible is going to be central to, if you will, proof text that we're looking at different aspects of some of these other different beliefs, the convictions we have. And so as we go through the convictions, I'll summarize this just because we'll pick this up a little bit more, that creeds, we believe the Apostles' Creed is, we're going to say that right before communion. I am using the Evangelical Free Church, and this is a book that sort of, if you will, goes through and explains the E-Free, which is my denomination, but it's a very orthodox, majors on the major that we're going to use that as, if you will, the outline for teaching. And so the idea then of orthodoxy, what are the main things, the absolutes that we must believe? And then I will point out as we go through, there will be some differences and disagreements in certain areas, but some of the main things, folks, if you don't believe it, you're not a Christian. And that's what I hope we can understand, and then why it's important to then live our lives, the consequences, apply God's Word, because if we say we believe it is God's Word and it's authoritative, sounds like a great manufacturer's handbook for all of life. And so the big idea for today, and then more importantly next week, God's gospel, the good news, is authoritatively revealed in scriptures. God's word is important and central to that, and we'll pick up that a little bit more next week. The whole series premise was Romans 12, that we don't want to be conformed to the world. Hopefully everyone in this room, we want to have a biblical worldview and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So yeah, you know, maybe we'll get some aspirin because I know thinking hurts my head sometimes. But we want to make sure that our minds are glorifying God so that then our lives can reflect that. And so then this is in you all have, and there's copies of them if you don't have your homework on that lectern back there. But especially for next week, go through the Bible. I would encourage you and look up all those verses, because I'm not going to go through all those next week. But what the Bible says about what we're going to be talking about and the different phrases, if you will. I'll read this week. Next week, we're going to unpack it. But Article 2 on the Bible, we believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, through the words of human authors. As the verbally inspired word of God, The Bible is without error in the original writings, the complete revelation of his will for salvation, and the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. We'll talk about that because that is one of those very important things for us as we look around the world. Therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. And so today, just sort of this was the deviation. I thought, you know what, we'll introduce it a little bit. On Reformation Sunday, those of you that have been here on Reformation, sometimes Martin Luther makes an appearance, and because he was a central figure in what we call the Protestant Reformation, but no matter what background you come from, Reformation teaching has influenced us, even if you come from a Roman Catholic background. But one of the principles, what was called the formal principle, the plan, if you will, for all of the Protestant Reformation and why Martin Luther stood up and said, unless I am convinced by sacred scripture and evident reason and not by popes and councils, which have so often erred and contradicted themselves, I will not recant. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. And to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I mean, I love the battle cry of Martin Luther, a fallible man. And if any of you get Gerard's letters, he just recently reviewed some books by some folks who were not as big of fans of Martin Luther. And he was a rough man for rough times. But the importance of sola scriptura, scripture alone. And folks, why is that important? Because creeds, the Apostles' Creed, our CFC statement of which is our CFC statement of faith, and orthodoxy all come from Scripture. So the Bible is central to who we are as Christians. And some of the folks in the Reformation, I mean Wycliffe, Tyndale, some of these names we've heard of, and we've actually studied some of this during Reformation Sunday, talking about that even the Pope is going to be held accountable to the authority and teaching of Scripture. And people ought to be able to read the Bible in their own language. We take that for granted now, but when it was in Latin, and some of you maybe way back when, if you have Roman Catholic, you remember the Mass in Latin. The Word of God is for people. And so that was one of the major things in the Reformation. For Community Fellowship of Christian, our mission statement, who we are as a church. And we all agree to this, don't we? And every head bobbleheads up and down. But this is our mission statement. Using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to teach and nurture through God's Word, that all may be mature in Christ, discovering our gifts and using them in ministry. So God's Word, the Bible, folks, that's one of my hot button issues. Where what does Scripture say? And so a couple just aspects of Scripture we'll cover today before we, you know, the Word of God, the Bible, small w word, ultimately points us to the Word who became flesh, capital W Word, which is Jesus. And so when we celebrate communion, it's appropriate that we understand what the Word of God says about the Word of God who instituted the new covenant. So one topic, and this is a book, you can't see the cover, but Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem, good friend of the Bollingers. If you ever mentioned him, one of my professors, he stayed over here with the Bollingers a couple times and lives down in the Phoenix area now. But highly recommend that book, chapters 4 through 8. He spends an awful lot of time in this book developing some of these aspects that we're just going to touch on today. By the way, if anybody wants one of these, I highly recommend it as a resource for the Bible. I can get very good prices. Talk to me about that because my humble but accurate opinion, this belongs on every Christian shelf, a good systematic theology to help us understand Scripture because sometimes Peter says it about Paul's writing, some things hard to understand. And so folks that are a lot smarter than any of us helping us to understand it. So anyway, shameless commercial. If you're listening, Dr. Grudem, send me the proceeds. But I got the authority of Scripture. Scripture is God's Word. I read in 2 Timothy, some of our translations, it is God-breathed. And so it's the final authority for all that we believe and all we teach. And therefore, because it is God's word, folks, it ought to be obeyed. I don't see how anybody could say otherwise. We looked at God, who God is, and God does not err. And so if he's given us his word, we'll talk a little bit more about the inspiration of God, where it's God's word is the primary author, but it was written by human authors. We'll talk more about that next week. But if it is God's word, it ought to be obeyed. As Dr. Grudem says, the authority of Scripture means that all the words in Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. Now, I expect most of us agree with that. I adamantly believe that. That's why you put up with me, thank you, but this is why we do what we do here. So the authority, clarity, a big word, another big word, perspicuity, that's a big word, clear. It's, you can understand it, but it does require study. And so that's hence the, you know, that little cartoon there, you know, just click I agree. I don't want to read it. I just agree. Yep. Blow the dust off, come to church. I know we don't do that, but that's, it requires study. And so when I talk about MSA, meaning, significance, application, that gets into interpretation, why it's important for us to try to understand cultures that, wow, that was, you know, only few of us were alive back then. But we need to be able to study and recognize what the meaning, the historical, the grammatical, things like that. So more on that next week. But Scripture can be understood. So going back to Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, you know, Tyndale was with a bunch of priests and bishops and he defied the Pope and all his laws and said a plowboy, you know, a farm boy would know more of the Scriptures than they. And he was, of course, they didn't like that, condemned as a blasphemer and a heretic and was burnt at the stake. So don't go against the tradition of the church, but understanding God's word. And part of that then is, requires a moral and a spiritual understanding. It's not just intellectual. And this is something, folks, in our culture, oh, but they're experts. Well, there are secular experts that know Greek and Hebrew a lot better than, you know, I ever will. But until they are transformed and renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they can't understand ultimately and bow to the authority of God's word. Dr. Grudem says the clarity of Scripture means that the Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who will read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it. That's one of the what's called the illumination of God, the Holy Spirit, helps us if we are seeking to understand it, not looking for escape clauses and loopholes like we sometimes do, trying to get out of something. That's not what God's word is about. The necessity of Scripture. It's necessary for knowledge of the gospel. We'll talk more about general, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's general revelation, but God has revealed himself, made known himself, through different means, prophets, the Holy Spirit, but ultimately for us today, through Scripture. And so that's why it's important for us to understand Scripture, to understand God. We don't get to make God in our own image. We live in a culture that likes to do that. And that's, unfortunately, the culture, you expect it, but in the church, when we tell God what he meant to say, folks, you want to see me start foaming at the mouth, say that in front of me. And I'm not immune from it either. Obviously, we all can fall short of this. And so also then Scripture as the manufacturer's handbook is maintaining spiritual life. As Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, Deuteronomy 32, and to observe all the words of this law because it is your life. Folks, I hope we believe not just on Sunday morning for half an hour when I'm yelling at you, but throughout the week, we are believing and trusting God's word to help us live in a culture that has, you know, forgotten about God. Where our country, I believe, we're moving to post-Christian, like unfortunately a lot of Europe is. So the necessity of Scripture. And then finally, the sufficiency. Another big word, efficacious. It accomplishes what God wants it to. As Dr. Grudem says, the sufficiency of Scripture means that Scripture contained all the words of God He intended His people to have at each stage of redemptive history, and that it is now contains all the words of God we need for salvation, for trusting Him perfectly, and for obeying Him perfectly. For those of you Wesleyans, can I get an amen over there, Dr. Merwin? You Wesleyans, but, and you were there in 1784 when they wrote this, but the Methodist Articles of Religion, the Holy Scriptures contain all things necessary to salvation. Duh. So that whoever, whatever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man that it should be believed as an article of faith or be thought requisite or necessary for salvation. God's Word shows us about salvation through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, points us to it. So Scripture shows us the way of salvation. Scripture shows us how to trust God. Scripture shows us how to obey God. And we'll unpack some of that next week. So what today? Well, one of the, I'll quote, and you've heard this before, but the Evangelical Free Church, good Scandinavian in Swedish, Hur står det skrevet? How stands it written? In other words, show me in Scripture. You got an opinion? Great. Show me in Scripture before I'll believe what you're saying. And in fact, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And it is his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in the seasons, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Folks, we want deep roots to be anchored against the storms in our culture, in a fallen world. And the Word of God is one of those ways that helps us do that. And so the Word of God points to salvation. Like if you were here last week, and those of you that weren't able to be here, all of these are on the website, and so you're able to go back and listen, because one of the things that God, this great God and creator of the universe, has purposed for His glory, to redeem a people for Himself. And so it's all for His glory and our good. And we read about that in the Word of God, ultimately pointing to Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, instituting the new covenant at that Last Supper communion as we are about to celebrate right now. So if you would, please let's stand. We will recite the Apostles' Creed, which for those of you that are not members or regular attenders, that is our statement of faith for Community Fellowship of Christians. We'll say this together, and then I'll give you some instructions and read the words of institution for the Lord's Supper communion. And Gary's picture of a lighthouse, I like that, which I've used, like nautical stuff, go Navy, go Navy, be darned. But lighthouse guides us into a safe harbor and warns of the dangers of the rocky coast. And so that's what God's Word and creeds that are based on God's Word can help us do. So let's recite this. We believe in God the Father, please be seated. And that's the Apostles' Creed. I will be pointed out as we go through where the Apostles' Creed interacts with what we believe. And all those words pretty much come from Scripture. And so as we gather around the table, when God communes with us, make sinners like we are right with him through what Jesus did on the cross. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord, didn't make this up, from the Lord, Paul says, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. If you are a Christian, come and commune with our holy God.